everyone. Welcome to Endpoint Enigma. I'm your host, Hank Schless, and today we're joined by Aaron Cockrell, who's the Chief Strategy Officer at Lookout. And he's here to talk about the difference between traditional security and mobile security and why, for example, my iPhone is so much harder to secure and more complex than something like a Windows-based computer. Aaron, you have more than 20 years of experience in software, and as our CSO, you know, you're really making sure the company continues to evolve our security solution as modern devices continue to become more complex and evolve themselves. So welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Hank.
So before we dive into things, could you tell the audience a little bit about your background before Lookout?
I've been working in mobile technologies for the last 15 years. Prior to joining Lookout, I was with Citrix. And at Citrix, my team's responsibility was developing a lot of the container technologies that we used back then, as well as integrating with an acquisition that we made of an MDM company called Zenprise. I also earlier worked at Citrix on their desktop virtualization and secure remote access solutions. And before that, I spent some great time in Boston and Cambridge working for Akamai. That's probably far enough into my history. I don't want to seem too old.
Fair enough. So after so many years in mobile technology and going back a little further than that, more of kind of the remote access technology, why did you choose security as your next challenge and really choose to focus in on that?
I saw was an increasing trend in people adopting mobile devices as, at the very least, as part of their working day, but more frequently, their chosen device. For example, I watched my wife change the bank that we use purely because the bank that we were using previously didn't have mobile applications. And I saw this huge groundswell of change moving into these mobile devices. And I was very concerned about how they would operate from a security perspective, but I was very enamored with using them in my day-to-day life. So I saw that as a really, really interesting challenge to get involved in.
Yeah, it's interesting that the observation of the people closest to you can oftentimes drive that interest in, you want to help those people operate as securely as possible. And you mentioned an interesting thing, which is that there's a mobile experience that companies are coming out with across the board, whether it's banking, whether it's healthcare, that is driving consumers to choose a certain organization to bank with a certain company or with a certain bank. It's an interesting kind of paradigm shift in the way that we interact with these everyday functions we have to carry out, whether it's shopping or whether it's banking. So thinking about that, we all carry our phones with us everywhere. Personally, I'm an iPhone user. It's in my pocket all the time. It's next to me always. It's there and I use it as an alarm. What about the way that we really look at mobile devices as an extension of ourselves poses a real challenge for securing them? And how is that evolving with things like iPad OS or Chrome OS being thrown into the mix?
Great question. There's a lot to unpack there. So I think the biggest challenge in securing mobile devices is the fact that, as you pointed out, they're so personal. You know, you read it before you go to sleep. You read it the first thing when you wake up. In fact, for you, it's your alarm. That means that it's an exceedingly personal device. Even if it's a corporate-owned device, in most cases, when we talk to customers about their corporate devices that they issue, the employees can continue to use them in a personal capacity. So they send texts to their wives, they take photos of their children, they have their personal banking applications on the devices, they have their personal email. All of those types of things mean that these devices are very personal, and traditional security technologies have been very reliant on inspecting what's going on the device, what the user's doing, where they're sending information, what information they're sending, who they're sending it to, those types of things, which from a corporate information technology and security perspective is the right thing to do. But it starts to get a little bit of a challenge when the user might be using, let's say, SMS or WhatsApp or one of the plethora of different messaging capabilities on the phone to send messages that are both personal and work-related in nature. So you can't any longer take a carte blanche type of inspection strategy on these devices, which makes, therefore, the applying that type of security to these devices far more difficult. But it's not even just the fact that they're personal. The platforms themselves also are restricted in the way that security organizations can make inspections on the devices. So both the fact that they're personal and the way that the operating systems are designed make traditional security approaches obsolete.
Right. And those traditional approaches definitely still apply to, you know, the Windows and those more traditional systems. But you're right. When it comes down to it, the ability to use a more modern approach is becoming key to addressing these gaps in the security strategy. So you mentioned these messaging apps and the various ways we communicate with each other and how that can make a device both personal and work related. One of the biggest issues that the industry is seeing right now is mobile phishing, and specifically in those types of apps. So from a privacy perspective, where's the line between these traditional and then the more modern approaches? How do the traditional ones not quite fit that privacy need, and do the modern ones do so in a different way?
It's interesting that you mentioned phishing. I think much of the audience will think of phishing as the emails that you get that are telling that you have a new free offer at Amazon, or that check the latest shipping tracking details and so on. And many of them say click on this link. But the key thing here that I'm raising is most of the audience probably perceive as the primary vector for phishing being email. And we're watching that change dramatically. So that's the first thing that I would say. The bad actors have identified that most corporations and even personal email systems like Gmail and so on have excellent phishing and spam filtration capabilities. So bad actors instead are turning to messaging solutions that don't have the same filtration capabilities for spam and that have a greater likelihood of success when used as a phishing or social engineering attack. So what we see is an increasing number of attacks being directed over SMS or WhatsApp or any one of the, you know, I'm not picking on any particular company, just it could be any one of the social networking type messaging platforms. And the phishing is slightly different in nature. It's increasingly focused on capturing personal information, as opposed to, if you looked at the Verizon data breach report last year and the year before, much of the phishing directed towards, you keep mentioning traditional Windows systems, but I'd even say Mac. Often those phishing emails include malware that the user is supposed to install, which then, you know, exfiltrates information or potentially implements ransomware or that type of thing. In the mobile space, it's different because these operating systems are hardened against that type of attack to some extent. It's sort of, it's difficult to install a executable that's included as a mail attachment on a mobile device, which is great for security. But when someone pretends to be a friend of yours and sends your message and they send a link that you should click on, you're far more likely to click on that on a mobile device for a number of different reasons. If your device is sitting in this work and personal context and you use personal messaging with one of your colleagues to both socially interact and carry out work, and that person, in our example, that person's name is always Patrick. I don't know why. So when Patrick sends you a message and he says, hey, can you look at this latest sales deck before I show it to the customer? And there's a shortened link in that message, you would have no hesitation clicking on that. When you click on that, if the system asks you to enter your productivity system password, such as Office 365 or G Suite, that makes total sense to you. And then strangely, the browser crashes or the app crashes. And that's an example of having your productivity credentials stolen through phishing. And that type of attack, that theft of personal information and specifically credentials by sending users links over messaging systems, is fortunately exploding in the mobile space. The other thing that the audience should be aware is the objective was not simply to steal those credentials. This is typically the tip of a targeted attack directed at either at that person or ultimately at that organization. So yeah, phishing, very difficult to tackle on these mobile platforms because you're not inspecting that content. In fact, these systems don't even let you in many cases.
Yeah, and no offense to anybody who's listening to this whose name is Patrick. It's just the example we use. We don't think you're a bad guy. There's this campaign going on right now where people are getting messages saying, hi, name, and we've been holding a package for you from Amazon for the last 2 weeks. If you'd like to have it delivered, here's a link to it. And when you come to the link, hey, just to verify your identity, can you please enter your credit card information? To kind of zoom out a little bit, you mentioned that there's a difference in the way that we can inspect content, the way that the actual operating systems are put together, kind of built. How does that differ between iOS and Android or Chrome OS versus something like Windows? And when it comes to actually securing the applications, how does that all kind of play together?
At the most fundamental level, mobile operating systems have been built with the hindsight of the attacks that occurred on Windows and Mac and other Linux and desktop systems. So they've been built in order to defend naturally against a lot of the attacks that we saw through the early 2000s and when the security industry sort of started really for desktop computers and so on. So we don't see the massive propagation of Code Red or Nimba or something across all of the iPhones in the world or all of the Android devices in the world. It's just not a thing because those operating systems were designed to defend against that type of attack. And the way they do that is they have very restricted ways in which an application can interact with or modify the operating system. So, for example, you know, you can't write things like kernel extensions and so on, which you have been able to do in the past on desktop operating systems. Each application must interact with another application through a restrictive set of APIs. So effectively, each one of the apps on a modern operating system like iOS or Android or iPadOS or even Chrome OS, the apps all run effectively in isolation. And it's actually the operating system manufacturers that provide certain entitlements to be able to do some things and are very restricted about what applications can do. So the types of attacks that we see on these devices are very different because of that. And the technology behind the platforms, as I said, protect against those what we've seen in the past from viruses, but they are prone to different types of attack. So what we talked about earlier is phishing. These devices are unfortunately far more susceptible to phishing attack than desktop devices. At the most fundamental level, for example, if you're interacting with your bank on your desktop machine, you do it through a browser. If you're interacting with your bank on your phone, you do it through an app. In the browser, you can see what encryption is being used. You can see the full URL in the address bar, those types of things. If you've been tricked on a mobile platform into installing a malicious application that's pretending to be your bank, you can't tell if it's a legitimate bank application or not. So that's one of the challenges on these platforms. The other one is these platforms, because they use applications that are dedicated for connection with these, like banking applications or communication applications and so on, they all use encryption for transport of the data. Now, on the surface, that sounds great, and it is the right way to go. I'm not saying that we should not use encryption. The challenge that I'm pointing out here is traditional enterprise systems that would have watched for intellectual property being sent out of the company or personally identifiable information being sent out of the company, that would have been caught by a system known as DLP or data loss protection. And those systems are designed to capture information flowing over the wire that looks like, for example, social security numbers or phone numbers and those types of things. If that data is being submitted over any of the mobile messaging platforms, which it's very able to do, they're all carrying that data over an encrypted communication, which typically uses PIN certificates so that devices that you would have used in your corporation to check if the wrong data is leaving the organization can't inspect that content without actually carrying out a decryption attack on that traffic. So we call that a man-in-the-middle attack. It's very difficult to monitor the traffic that's coming in and off them, in and out of them from a networking perspective. So the way you do security on these devices has to radically change. In the mobile space, if a device has been compromised, whether it's because there's spyware being installed on it or it's been successfully phished or whatever it is, rather than focus on fixing the device, although we do that, we focus more on protecting the corporation from that compromised device. So this evolution of what the industry is referring to as zero trust is all about protecting the organization from the compromised device.
Absolutely. It's just one example of the way things are evolving, and sounds like you've got a pretty good idea of where things are going. So do you maybe want to share a little bit of what you think the top priorities are just in this mobile space moving forward when it comes to securing those devices, with phishing being one of the biggest issues now? What do you see as the next couple years of growth in this threat landscape?
Yeah, if you're listening to this in 2021, we're in 2020 right now, and we've been pretty significantly impacted by this COVID-19 pandemic. And that has really accelerated what I see as the major changes in applying security to this mobile space. So at a high level, the adoption of mobile devices and cloud as your infrastructure has really resulted in the perimeter as a security tool disappearing. And so what we're witnessing and what we'll see in the near future is all of the services that were in that perimeter will have to move to either the cloud service that's providing them or the endpoint that's consuming them. So let me give you some examples. Traditionally, phishing, whether it be email filtration or URL filtering or whatever, it was typically done in the perimeter, or it could be even done in the cloud to some extent. But what it focused on was reading the emails and reading the content and then removing those messages and then telling the user that their inbox was safe. And then if they attempted to click on a link, that link would be filtered by the secure web gateway or firewall and so on. And so the services like that provided from a secure web gateway need to be moved out to the endpoint so that the endpoint is where the filtration occurs to block access to phishing links and to malicious links and so on. So I believe we'll see a transformation where many of these services continue to either move up into being incorporated in the cloud service, which is actively occurring, or being moved down to occur on the endpoint. So let me give you some other examples of how I see this evolving. We've been fortunate enough to have great partnerships with both Apple and Google as it relates to the development of the operating systems and to some extent the hardware. So what we can do is we can increasingly run analyses to check for abnormal behavior on these mobile devices using those machine learning algorithms, and then we can alert security systems as to whether behavior is abnormal. For example, we can increase the level of risk associated with a particular device without necessarily saying that that device did this in particular, therefore breaching the user's privacy. So we will see a lot more development of analysis on the local device with some level of information being sent to the cloud for security event processing or alert processing. But it will be carried out in such a way that you'll be able to see anomalies at the endpoint, but not necessarily see exactly what happened unless you need to go back through a forensics research into a breach. So that's one area that I see that we will see evolution in mobile security terms. So the other big change that we'll see in our space is, I believe increasingly we're already seeing mobile devices are being used as the tool for authentication. So when you assert your identity, either whether it's for your banking application or your bank on the browser, or whether it's gaining access to your corporate resources, frequently you get a challenge being sent to your phone, even though you're trying to access on your laptop. Two-factor authentication and multi-factor authentication is going to become the standard. In fact, I believe we will see passwords ultimately go away and forms of encrypted interactions similar to what the FIDO Alliance are advocating will be the norm. And what's critical for the audience to understand there is the mobile device will be central to that authentication process. So we will need to prove during that authentication exchange and on an ongoing basis that that mobile device is free from compromise. So instead of, you know, the propagation of Code Red and NIMDA and all those sorts of things prompting users to understand how to keep their device safe, users are going to want to keep their device safe now because it's their keys to everything. It's their keys to their bank. It's the keys to their house. It's the, increasingly their keys to their car. They're the three big areas that I see in the mobile security space seeing a lot of evolution and change in the way that we do security.
Yeah, it is interesting how at this, you know, the start of this conversation, we were saying, oh, well, you've decided to use a mobile device because it has all these applications, because it has access to all this stuff. And now, I mean, it sounds like in your opinion, it's not just going to be the way you bank, but it's going to be the only way you access your bank. And it's going to become more than just a place that you maybe order groceries ahead of time or something like that. But it's going to be the way that you unlock your car to go get those groceries to then, you know, it's going to be a whole ecosystem that comes out of it. And it's really just going to keep evolving. And I think that's most of our time for today. But Aaron, before we sign off here, is there anything you want to leave the audience with in particular?
I always get asked, how do I make sort of safe? And obviously, at the minimum level, keep your mobile device up to date, enable automatic updates. Keep all of the applications up to date and don't install things from outside of any of the known app stores unless you know you can trust it. And then lastly, be very careful about clicking on links in messaging platforms that you may, where you may not know who the message was sent from, because that's the most common way that these devices are attacked.
Absolutely. Some very key and basic steps that everybody can take to keep themselves just a little bit more secure. So, I think that's the time we have for today. Aaron Cockrell, Chief Strategy Officer here at Lookout, thank you again for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back in a couple weeks with our next episode. Have a great day.